Welcome to the Tech Policy Podcast, your source for policy rants and raves from Tech Freedom, your Washington, D.C. advocate for the freedom to tinker and innovate. On today's show, the Democratic debate in South Carolina. Joining me in our D.C. studio to talk about it is hopeless micromanager and president of Tech Freedom, Baron Soka. Baron, thank you for joining me for, what is this, a fifth time?
You know me too well.
Now, tech policy doesn't get much love in presidential debates, but a question from a YouTube star prompted a revealing exchange between the candidates on balancing national security interests with our right to privacy.
Hi, my name is Marquez Brownlee, and I've been making YouTube videos about electronics and gadgets for the past 7 years. I think America's future success is tied to getting all kinds of tech right. Tech companies are responsible for the encryption technology to protect personal data, but the government wants a backdoor into that information. So do you think it's possible to find common ground, and where do you stand on privacy versus security?
So Governor O'Malley.
Thank you. I believe whether it's a backdoor or a front door, that the American principle of law should still hold, that our federal government should have to get a warrant, whether they want to come through your back door or your front door.
So Baron, Governor O'Malley had a clever line in there, but his comment doesn't really address the problem of having a back door in the first place.
Well, first, let me just compliment. Brownlee asked exactly the right question. He couldn't have put it better. So hats off to him. Hats off to O'Malley as well, in a certain way. When I listened to that, I thought, that's fantastic. He gave exactly the answer that I would have given. And then I remembered that there's more to it than that. His answer about warrants is exactly the right answer on access to emails, on how we deal with the NSA's surveillance and so on. But on encryption, he kind of dodged the issue. And the issue is this: are we going to allow American citizens to use secure encryption, which means encrypting the entire chain of communication from the end where I send it to the other end where you receive it? If you don't allow that, you can't really have secure communications. And O'Malley didn't actually address that. Indeed, what he seems to be saying when he talks about having a warrant requirement, whether we go through the front door or the back door, is that it would be okay to have backdoor access, in other words, to stop private companies from encrypting their traffic, as long as there was a warrant requirement for the government to use that. And that's a middle ground solution. Of course, that's better than not having a warrant protection at all. But it still sounds like he's okay with the government banning encryption and requiring a back door.
Yeah, and having a warrant requirement for a back door, like you said, is better than nothing, but he's not addressing the cybersecurity problem there. Having the back door in the first place, any vulnerability, whether you're the good guys, you want it to only be used by the good guys, but foreign governments, cyber criminals, they can still exploit the back door. So hats off to O'Malley for due process, but his answer on encryption is dodging the problem of cybersecurity.
And we say this all the time, but there's just no such thing as a back door that only good guys can use. You can put in place a warrant requirement and hope that that will restrain the U.S. government when it goes to access that, but the warrant requirement won't protect us from foreign governments using those back doors or malicious hackers. And that's the real problem here.
So we're talking about banning, or at least heavily restricting, technology. How exactly would O'Malley handle encryption? This is what he had to say.
We're a collaborative people. We need collaborative leadership here with Silicon Valley and other bright people in my own state of Maryland around the NSA that can actually figure this out.
Well, he sounds pretty similar to Hillary Clinton and Jeb Bush here. Last week, we heard Jeb Bush make the same point, saying that he wanted to have not just one meeting with private companies, as President Obama had done. Clearly, he's a feckless weakling for only having one meeting, because Jeb Bush would have meeting after meeting, and he would just keep asking until private companies did what he wanted. And O'Malley seems to be saying something pretty similar in a much nicer way. Hillary Clinton has said the same thing. They're both parroting the FBI's talking point that somehow there's a technological solution here. Somehow, if Silicon Valley tried hard enough, they could build a backdoor that only good guys could use, so we could restrict encryption without creating new security vulnerabilities. And I just think that's not realistic.
While O'Malley focused his attention on how the NSA and other government entities use or misuse our data, Senator Sanders used his response to focus on how tech companies like Google and Facebook are using the data that they collect.
I just wanted to add, in the previous question, I voted against the USA Patriot Act for many of the reasons that Governor O'Malley mentioned. But it is not only the government that we have to worry about, it is private corporations. You would all be amazed, or maybe not, about the amount of information private companies and the government has in terms of the websites that you access, the products that you buy, where you are this very moment. And it is very clear to me that public policy has not caught up with the explosion of technology.
So, Barron, Sanders is comparing the NSA and what they do to companies like Google and Facebook. Is this a false equivalency?
Yeah, of course. It's ridiculous. I mean, I've had a number of friends, civil libertarian friends on the left, who for many years had worried a lot about private companies and the use of their databases for targeting ads. And when the Snowden revelations came out, a few of the really thoughtful ones said to me, gosh, you know, it's not that I don't care about those things, but we have bigger fish to fry, and it's really pretty silly that some of their allies, that they said to me, were so fixated on private companies targeting ads or tweaking their products based on how we use them, when we actually have huge collection of our information by the government. And, you know, again, Bernie Sanders has every right to his views about more heavily regulating private companies' use of data. But I think it's pretty sad and revealing that when he's asked about the NSA and this very real problem of the government's access to data and the NSA's and the FBI's efforts now to really ban encryption as a technology that could protect us against surveillance, Senator Sanders immediately changed the subject to start complaining about private companies, the very private companies that his supporters love, that people in the tech sector build every day using personal data. We can have that conversation, but we really need to keep our priorities straight and realize that is the huge problem.
And there is a clear difference between what the NSA does and what Google does, right? So when I use Gmail, I consent to a list of terms and conditions. Now, like most of our listeners and probably most Americans, I'm not reading every word of that because I don't want to. But I am signing a contract, and in exchange for getting a very good free email service, that company gets to collect my data to improve the product and to better target advertising. What the NSA is doing is, I never consented to what the NSA is doing. They're violating my constitutional right to privacy. Courts have said this. And to say that that's the same as what a private company is doing is not only an oversimplification, but it's just wrong.
Yeah, and of course, there could be some overlap. You could certainly imagine scenarios where the NSA might want to get the very data that private companies hold. But for the most part, for example, a list of every website you visit, that might be something the NSA might want. But they're going to get that from your broadband provider. They're not going to get that from Google necessarily. For the most part, Google and Facebook really are building profiles of your likely interests. And the NSA doesn't care whether you have a dog or you're interested in travel. It's just not relevant information. So I don't want to be too hard on Bernie here, because I do need to give him credit. It's worth noting, as he said, that he voted against the Patriot Act. When that vote happened in the Senate, there was only one senator who voted against it. Bernie Sanders, of course, was in the House at the time, and he joined just three Republicans and 62 Democrats voting against the Patriot Act at the time. So he has been a champion on civil liberties. I commend him for that. I just hope that he'll stay focused on the real threat here.
So Sanders didn't go on to address encryption. He basically echoed O'Malley's sentiment about the importance of working with Silicon Valley. In general, Sanders and O'Malley have been cryptic about encryption, but Clinton has been much more outspoken.
Well, I wanted to say, and I'll do it quickly, I was very pleased that leaders of President Obama's administration went out to Silicon Valley last week and began exactly this conversation about what we can do consistent with privacy and security. We need better intelligence cooperation. We need to be sure that we're getting the best intelligence that we can from friends and allies around the world. And then we've got to recognize our first line of defense against lone wolf attacks is among Muslim Americans.
Secretary Clinton, you said that the leaders from the intelligence community went to Silicon Valley. They were flatly turned down. They got nowhere.
That is not what I've heard. Let me leave it at that.
Well, once again, Hillary doesn't really differ very much from Jeb Bush here, except that she's better at changing the subject. She said something that many Americans, including myself, would applaud, which is the importance of working with Muslim Americans. But she's clearly trying to distract from the issue of encryption, because she knows it's a weakness for her. There's probably a difference of opinion here. It's not actually clear exactly where everyone falls. They're all dodging the real issue, even Bernie. On some level, they all seem to be agreeing that they might be willing to give the NSA a backdoor as long as there's some protection for Americans, like a warrant requirement. But I think if we actually could pin the candidates down, I think we'd see that Hillary's willing to give the intelligence agencies a lot more than Bernie or O'Malley are here. And she knows that, and she's trying to avoid opening up another front where she's vulnerable on her left flank.
And the moderator pinned Clinton down saying, you know, these meetings, they haven't gone anywhere. And Clinton, you know, she wants to say, that's not what I've heard. You know, let me leave it at that. But the reason these meetings aren't going anywhere is because this is the exact same debate we had in the 90s over encryption. In the 90s, law enforcement wanted a backdoor access. The technologist said, no, we're doing this again. And just because there are terrorist attacks and things in the news cycle that might seem to be changing the debate, the parameters of the debate have not changed. There simply is no solution. So that's why you see the moderator just calling out Clinton for just living in fantasy world.
Yeah, and if you'll pardon the pun, encryption really is a binary issue. You either have secure end-to-end encryption or you don't. That's the real problem here. That's why the debate in the 90s ended the way it did. That's why the NSA and the FBI today are trying to change the terms of the debate by pointing the finger at Silicon Valley and somehow claiming that it's their fault because they haven't come up with a third way. Well, I just don't think there is a third way. There's an encryption commission that's being put forward by the House that's supposed to look into this. I suspect that they'll come up with very much the same answer that we've seen before, and we'll be right back at square one. And then the real issue will be how do we deal with surveillance? How do we deal with email privacy? And how do we make sure that American intelligence agencies have the resources they need to do the hard work of actually crunching intelligence so they don't miss things like the French intelligence agency did in the recent attacks?
Before we sign off, let's go back to O'Malley, who made an important point about the Patriot Act.
I also want to say that while we've made some progress on the Patriot Act, I do believe that we need an adversarial court system there. We need a public advocate. We need to develop jurisprudence so that we can develop a body of law that protects the privacy of Americans in the information and digital age.
Barron, what's he talking about?
Well, amen to all of that. It's another area where I totally agree with Martin O'Malley. He's talking about a core provision of the USA Freedom Act that got watered down. So the issue is that all of the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Court proceedings have been private. It's been essentially a star chamber.
And this is the court that is designed to oversee the surveillance practices that were put into law by the Patriot Act and then modestly reformed by the USA Freedom Act.
That's right. And the core issue he's talking about is there an adversarial process? Do you have someone who's standing up for American citizens and basic constitutional values? The original version of the bill, the one that we and other civil liberties groups pushed for, called for creating a standing public advocate. And that would be something like a public defender in criminal defense cases, somebody whose job it is to make sure that the unrepresented get representation. And here that means every American citizen, the people that might be spied upon. That is important. It should still happen. That's what he's talking about. Instead, we got a weakened provision of that. We got a provision where the court can appoint friends of the court. And so there'd be a few groups that are authorized to intervene. But the government doesn't have to do that. And the government doesn't even have to share information with them. Whereas the original public advocate would have been able to see everything that the government had access to, and therefore would have been able to intervene and be a more effective advocate for constitutional values.
Yeah, and the kind of due process that you see, you know, in the real world as opposed to the digital world where, you know, law enforcement needs a warrant to come into your home and they need to, you know, charge you with a crime and there's like a whole process. In this foreign intelligence surveillance court, that's not really how it goes, and the American people really don't get to see what's going on in there.
Yeah, it's a black box. We really don't know very much about what's going on there. We know a little bit. We know that companies like Yahoo have fought hard for our rights and lost. The deck is stacked, and O'Malley's absolutely right here. That has to change. Nobody in the civil liberties community thinks that the USA Freedom Act was the end goal. There are going to have to be more reforms, and as we mentioned earlier last week, some of those reforms, I think, are going to be required if the U.S. wants to avoid a digital trade war with Europe.
So, let's talk about takeaways from this debate. There's a clear contrast between the way that Republicans talk about tech policy issues like surveillance and the way that Democrats do. So on the Republican side, this recent debate, you did not have Rand Paul there, and he's usually the champion for privacy and the Fourth Amendment and reforming surveillance. Next best thing you've got is Ted Cruz. Now, the most you got from Ted Cruz was he defended his vote for USA Freedom, which reformed surveillance, but he couched that by saying it actually made more information available to the government. So you really didn't have that. Whereas on the Democratic side, you had two candidates, O'Malley and Sanders, both bragging about opposing the USA Patriot Act back in 2001 because of the surveillance problem. So clearly there's a difference there. While on encryption, they seem to all be kind of parroting the same FBI talking point and all saying, oh, Silicon Valley works with Washington, and we'll all be happy and find a magical solution.
Yeah. The difference here, it's sort of approaching the same thing from two different directions. So, in other words, the Democrats feel like they can score points by attacking things like the Patriot Act and things like Martin O'Malley said, standing up for basic values. He quoted Benjamin Franklin. That's all great stuff. Those are things you would hear from Rand Paul in the Republican debate if you were asked this kind of question. But at the end of the day, and I have to emphasize this as we close, you didn't hear any one of the three Democrats in that debate actually stand up for encryption. At most, they stood up for a warrant requirement, for reforms to the surveillance system. That's not good enough. I think if you hear Rand Paul answer this question, if he's asked it, if he's at another debate, I'd like to think that he'd actually stand up for encryption. Maybe Ted Cruz would. I mean, there's a certain vein on the right that would tend to look at these issues as being essentially the Second Amendment for the internet, the right of self-defense. So, in other words, I don't think the two parties necessarily, at the end of the day, will converge on different positions, but they frame them differently.
And there are things that the Democrats really just didn't talk about in this debate. Uber, the changing nature of the workforce, avoiding internet taxes that fall hardest on the poor, helping broadband deployment. I mean, really, they missed an opportunity to get into some other tech issues.
Yeah, they could have framed all those issues as an opportunity to implement progressive values through technological innovation and by working with the private sector. And we didn't hear any of that. And that's unfortunate. And I think it's a missed opportunity for them, just as there were missed opportunities for Republicans to frame some of those same issues in conservative terms and to convince people that the internet actually really is generally making life better and promoting everyone's values.
Well, that's it for today's show. Follow us on Twitter at TechFreedom or on Facebook.com/TechFreedom and find this podcast in the iTunes store or on your favorite podcast app. Thank you for listening.
The Tech Policy Podcast is produced and distributed by Tech Freedom, a nonpartisan, nonprofit, tax-exempt think tank based in Washington, D.C. To learn more about our work in tech policy and for more episodes, find us online at techfreedom.org.